Good morning. I'm Khaki Walton, checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Orpheum Theater. Playhouse on the Square presents the final production in this season's Pots at the Works series, the world premiere of Crib, winner of the 2016 New Works at the Works Playwriting Competition by award-winning playwright Gino Delorio. Crib opens tonight at Theater Works, 2085 Monroe. That's going to run through the end of the month, July the 29th. The Pay What You Can performance Thursday, July the 19th, and regular performances are Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 with a Sunday matinee at 2. Jacqueline Suffel is getting to do something that not many directors get to do, and she's doing it for the second time. She directed Victory Blues last season. That was also the winner of New Works at the Works Playwriting Competition, and she's getting to be the first person to ever direct Crib. She joins me in the studio this morning to talk about it. Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Khaki.
This is really incredible too. I mean, you're getting to do the world premiere of yet another play.
Yes, ma'am. I'm very excited. That's the beauty of getting to be in the New Works competition as a director of a reading. If your reading gets selected, you get to take it to full production. I've been very lucky to have that happen twice.
Man. Well, tell everybody a little bit about the playwriting competition.
So the New Works competition is a really amazing opportunity for playwrights who are hoping to get their new work produced to submit to a panel of judges to have it be read. And then that set of judges picks six out of hundreds to have a public reading. And so at that point, those scripts are handed over to directors who pick readers who help bring the script alive in a reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they win through an audience vote, then they'll be taken into full production in the following year.
And they'll get a little cash prize for that, too.
They do.
Yeah. And how exciting for them to say, hey, my work was actually done on stage. Hey, is the playwright going to come see Crib?
He is. So he's coming down tonight, and he's going to be at our friends and family, and then he'll be at opening.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's talk about the show. It's an examination of the NCAA student athlete scandal, and that's a subject that's popped up frequently in headlines all over the country, even right here in our own hometown paper.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the scandal in Crib. It might be evident from the title, but tell us what it's about.
So the title Crib is slang for a plagiarism or a large-scale cheating operation. And the issue that we're faced with in this is that St. Matthew's, which is a fictional, large-scale, D1, prestigious private school.
Mm-hmm.
They have a star, all-star basketball player, Rajon Russell, and he is in a theater classics class with one of the only African-American professors on campus, and she catches him plagiarizing.
Oh.
And so she confronts him on it, and his coach gets involved because he's a very valuable player, and the plot ensues.
So the outcome of this is going to be life-changing for both of these people.
Correct. And I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot of mystery around how it turns out.
Huh. Well, you know, it was interesting. I knew about these things because you can't help but hear about them. Happening in basketball, happening in football. They've been on the front page of the commercial appeal here. But I wanted to just do a little research and get some ideas about how rampant it is or just find out more about the broken higher education system that many student-athletes face. And so I did some reading, and it was really incredible to me. I mean, University of North Carolina has a phantom class that student-athletes don't even have to show up to, so they'll get high grades for not doing anything so that they will be eligible to play. So they'll get good grades.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's unbelievable what goes on.
Well, and I know because I had a couple of really good friends in high school that went on to be D1 athletes. They all had note takers that would go to class for them, so they didn't actually even have to be present in class. There are several of them who had private tutors that gave them questionable support, academically speaking. And then there are some professors who just knew that they couldn't fight the machine of the athletic programs, and they had to just go along with it to save themselves, which is reflected in this show, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say next, because luckily, a friend of mine on staff here at WKNO went to Alabama.
Oh, wow.
And he was in the English department. But he had two friends that were faced with this exact same thing.
It's a very real thing.
It's a very real thing. And one thing he said to me this morning is that for this professor, it puts an unbelievable burden on them, and they shouldn't have to face something this massive.
Right.
You know, they can't solve every societal pressure there is out there, but they're faced with, well, what am I going to give them, an F, or do I just want to bump it up to a C plus to make everybody happy?
And that's the exact conflict that our professor faces. It's Tracy Whitaker, who's played by Lisa Williams. Mm-hmm. She's faced with the fact that she's fighting for tenure. And she's also one of the only women of color who's working at this institution. So she's also having to be in every promo video and, you know, photography shoot to show that they're a diverse campus. And then in addition to all that pressure, she's also got this issue where she's uncovered something really problematic in the work of a star player. And she's got a lot on the line.
Yeah. Well, he does too. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he could be expelled for this.
Correct.
And there goes his career.
Correct. And they talk a lot about that, about how the honor code at this school is a very stringent honor code, and, you know, it's a possibility.
Jeez. So you have John Manis playing the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got tickled at the character's name.
Yes. Coach Perry. And that will resonate very well in Memphis because we have, someone who used to be around these parts who is a very similar figure.
Oh, my gosh. Now, so tell me about Gino Delorio. Did you talk to him about this, the playwright?
Yeah, so Gino actually is, he works at a college. He works at Clark, and he is, I think, from what I could tell, a very big basketball fan. And so when we talked about it, I was like, so is this who I think it is? And he was like, well, it's certainly a combination of people, but yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Wow. Gee, you're going to send Coach Cal an invitation?
I don't think he'll come back in the Memphis city borders anytime soon.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. Kim Sanders has a role in it, too. What does she play?
So Kim is playing Lisa, which is posed a ton of confusion. So now we have to call actress Lisa real Lisa, and we have to call Kim fake Lisa. She's playing Lisa, who is the administrative assistant to Professor Whitaker.
Gotcha.
And she has a very unique role in the show because she is the institutional knowledge that helps the professor sort of navigate this very privileged, very white space.
Uh-huh.
She's been working at the college for a long time. She knows the in and out of the politics, and she acts as an advisor, and she also acts as a lot of levity in the show. She's a pretty comical character.
I love when Kim Sanders does comedy now.
She's perfect. She's perfect. I couldn't have asked for better.
Well, so what about the basketball star? Who's the actor playing that role?
So that's Roman Kyle, and Roman is one of our up-and-coming young actors, and he is an outstanding talent. He's been in several things around town, and he has worked very hard on his ball handling skills so that he could be convincing D1 basketball player. And he's done a really great job of one of the major struggles with this character is that the character also struggles with mental illness.
Oh.
And so we had to do some studying on some tics and on what it is to be bipolar and what it is to have anxiety, because his character really struggles with those things as well.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea that was a layer in the show.
Well, and it's a fascinating component because we certainly don't talk about mental health in black males, particularly black athletes. And it's an important thing to examine, particularly in the context of a high-pressure situation like being a D1 athlete.
Sure, sure. So tell me more about the conversations that you've had with, aside from the name he gave the coach. But I think that's the most fascinating thing about being able to direct something for the first time. You do have dialogue with the director, and he gives you input throughout the whole directorial process.
Correct. So he came to visit us while we were very, very early in rehearsal, so probably in our second week, and we had some really great conversations about how this work came about, and it really is pulled from his real life. So he witnessed something very similar happen at an institution he worked at. The grading scandal part is not quite as accurate to what he was dealing with, but certainly the pressure of being one of the only professors of color on a predominantly white campus and struggling for tenure and trying to navigate those political spaces. And he was fascinated with the concept of the grading scandal and the machine of NCAA athletics and what it does to athletes because he'd seen it firsthand.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, they're not paying him, for one thing. I know that's a big thing in the news.
It is.
Because really, this is like running your own private team, but it's a school team.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these athletes come from disadvantaged groups, and maybe if they don't really make it, then they're sort of tossed aside. They're not going to really get help after. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
And it's awesome that you're bringing this up, because this is something that that Professor Whitaker talks about a lot. So it comes up a lot, and she reveals some things and some experiences that she's had in the past that are very sensitive to her about that very thing.
Mm. And the NCAA, you know, it's like student athletes, and they have all these core values, and sometimes they don't seem to be stepping up to the plate and actually making those core values important enough.
Exactly. And to be frank, I mean, the expectations of a Division I athlete are far too extensive for them to do the level of academic work they're expected to do.
Mm.
And that is the fault of the institution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Coach Perry in the show, he says, you know, just one game in the NCAA tournament, not even the regular season, is worth $250,000 for the institution.
Huh.
And that pays for everybody. And he goes through, you know, who it pays for and how. But these programs, particularly in a down economy, when we're having to charge more and more for tuition to just stay afloat,
mm-hmm.
These are the programs that drive the institution.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've gotten stuck in an ethical conundrum around, do we see these children, because that's who they are, they're
yeah.
still children,
sure.
as learning students, and this is just a mechanism to get them awarded some you know, important funds to get them through school so they can get a great education?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they a source of money and they're basically the engine that drives a lot of what a college needs?
Mm-hmm.
And do they become collateral damage as a product of that?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, get back to my friend from Alabama. When we discussed all of this stuff this morning, he said, because he did grad school there, got a scholarship, and he said, well, you know what? That paid for my school.
Mm-hmm.
All the money that comes into Alabama sports, that paid for my school.
Yep.
And on the same, then on the other side of it, he said a friend of his who was teaching, somebody had gone to Alabama, their career didn't really make it to pro, maybe 1 year, but it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was going through college, he really didn't have the literacy skills.
Yep.
Like, he just didn't have it. So he's coming back to school in his late 30s, almost 40 years old, because he needs to get some credits so that he can become a gym teacher at a high school. It's
wow.
like, what do you do? And he's having a hard time. I mean, he's having a hard time writing English essays and all this kind of stuff. But this guy can get a job. So what are you going to do? You're going to fail him? You're going to do your best to help him?
Right.
What is it going to fall down to as far as grading this man and knowing that the grade is going to depend on his future employment?
Right. And, you know, I think that the big debate that we have in the play is, does it matter how you play the game, or does it matter that you win the game? Right?
Right.
And so for Tracy, it matters how you play, and you have to play with integrity. And for Perry, it just matters that you win and you get him across the finish line. And both of them see themselves as helping the future of these students, and giving them as much opportunity as possible, but they're diametrically opposed.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's a debate. You know, we struggle with it in this city as well. Athletes often get passed through so they can continue to play, and they don't have the literacy skills that they need. And it's mentioned in the play as well. She talks about what she's facing academically, speaking with her students. And are we really helping them if we continue to shuttle them through? Or is it that we really just need to get them that degree so they can go on and go to work?
Yeah.
And I have my own opinions, but, you know, we'll leave it up to y'all to debate about what you think.
Well, you can some Come See Crib. It opens tonight at Theater Works, 2085 Monroe. It's going to run through the end of the month, July the 29th. Performance is Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 with that Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. The Pay What You Can performance is Thursday, July the 19th. And you couldn't just do shows like this without the sponsors who help so much.
That's right. And this first sponsor is near and dear to my heart. I love this organization. And so we're sponsored by Friends of Facing History and Ourselves, who I adore, Sedgwick, and our super sponsor, who we owe a lot to, Dr. Thomas Ratliff. They are the proud presenters of the world premiere winner of the 2016 New Works at the Works Playwriting Competition, Crib.
And it's being directed by Jacqueline Suffel. And you can get your tickets to Crib by calling the Playhouse on the Square box office at 726-4656 or go to their website to get those tickets at playhouseonthesquare.org. Jacqueline Suffel, directing Crib. It has been such a pleasure to talk to you this morning. Thanks so much.
I always love being here with you, Khaki. Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure.